This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
In the parashas, by the Makis of Mitzrayim, we find the reoccurring Yisoid, and that is that Moshe Rabbeinu was careful not to hit the waters, not to hit the ground. By Dam, he didn't want to hit the water. By Kinim, he didn't want to hit the ground. Hakaras HaTov, because he had to show retribute of gratitude. He had to show gratitude for the earth, the ocean that saved him. The earth saved him when he buried the Mitzri. The ocean saved him when he was put into the Nahar. L'chayra, this is a simple hakaras hatoiv dekalocha. Bar sheshasisa b'mayim al tizrik b'oven. If you get benefit, even from an object, the daimim, person should show gratitude. A person shouldn't throw a stone into the waters that he drank from. Is it unique or is it shayach dafke to Yetzias Mitzrayim? No, it's in general, everywhere and every time. And the Meforshim, the Achrayim, they discuss a daimim has no feelings. What does the daimim have? He feels a thank you. He feels a karas hatayv. And the Meforshim say that it's not about the object that you're bimakir tayv to. It's about the person, that he must have these feelings of akaras hatayv. Azay is the standard grade on the inyan of akaras hatayv that we find here by the Makis. I would like to dwell further and say that it's true, avada, there's an inyan of akaras hatayv always, everywhere, in every situation. But I also believe that it's unique and specific and the shayach dafka to the Makis. It was a dafka here, an emphasis, an adgosha, that Moshe had to show akaras hatayv, as I will explain. We know that the Makis, its tafkid was to lead to the geula, to lead to the gulas Yisrael. It was also lessons for Paroi, for Klal Yisrael. What were the lessons that were needed? What was it in Mitzrayim that was needed to be taught? So let's understand the whole Galus Mitzrayim. What is Galus Mitzrayim? You know, of course, every Galus has its physical element, which means the actual people that come against us, the Mitzrayim, the Bavlonim, the Romayim, the Romans, the Yavonim. It's the nation against Klal Yisrael. But we know that each nation represents something, and that the Galus is actually what the nation stands for. Chanukah, we have so much Torah to understand what Yevanim stand for and the Melcham against the Yevanim. What is Mitzrayim? What is Galus Mitzrayim? You know, in Lashon Kodesh, we would find in the Svarim two Lashonos. Klipas Mitzrayim, Chassidus Svarim speak the word Klipa. The more Litvish Svarim, Tumas Mitzrayim, will use the word Tumah. Mitzrayim is a ra. It's a bad. It stands for bad. So of course the Mitzrayim is the Mitzrayim, the people. But what was behind? What is the gullus? What is the spiritual gullus in Mitzrayim? We got to understand what Klipas Mitzrayim is. What is Tumas Mitzrayim? And then we can understand how the Makis helped, how the Makis were a refuah to the Galus of the Klipa, the Tumah Mitzrayim. So we find in the Torah Rabbeisai that Paroi was a tremendous kofer. Mi Hashem Ashreshma is Koiloi. Lo Yodati is Hashem. I don't know what Hashem is. As a matter of fact, Chazal tell us he made himself into an Avodah Zarah. Not Stam, he was kofer in the Rabbeinu Shleimo. He was kofer in a way that he made himself a deity. How does that come about? Kfira could come from many different things, Rabbi Yisai. In Mitzrayim, the shayrish of the kfira was kfir satayv. It was from overlooking and denying the good. This is clearly in the words of Chazal. Chazal tell us that from Paru we can learn kalakoyfer b'toyvasoi shal chaveroi will eventually be kaifer b'Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Paru, don't forget, said lo yadas Yosef. Yosef who did so much for him. Yosef who did such chesed for Paru. So Paru should have always been thankful. He should have been a debt to Yosef. Yet, Yad lo yadas Yosef. As a result of that, lo yadas Hashem. So we have over here a clear chazal that show us that Paru is kfira, but not just that Paru is kfira, what the underlying shayrish, the root of his kfira was, that he was a kafi toiv in Yosef. So it was a result. It was a result of the fact that he was a kafi toiv. Now, Rabbeisai, I want to know this, that a person is a kofa b'Kodesh Baruch Hu, is the pshat. When a person is a kafi toiv, so whatever led him to be a kafi toiv, that's going to lead him to be a kafi in the toiv of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? So we could say very simple. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam is chesed. If you can't recognize the chesed that your neighbor does for you, so how are you going to recognize the chesed was the Eibishter tut? But I believe that it's not even so much that if you're a kafi toiv, you will be a kafi in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, but that even if you forcefully are forced to not be makir toif, eventually you will come to be a kafi toif, even in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that if the person is a kafi toif, so that leads to being a kafi toif in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's that if you're not a makir toif, the result, it's a result. Over the years, you will train yourself in a life of kviya satayv that you will become a kaifer b'Kadosh Baruch. I'm not sure if you understand exactly what I mean, but I'll bring it out in the following way. You know, it's interesting. We think that lo yadas Yosef because he was an evil king. It's not exactly what Chazal tell us. Chazal tell us that the reason why he was kofer in the toiv of Yosef because he was under pressure, under the gun. As a matter of fact, originally he said, we can't do this because Yosef did us so much chesed. So they said, you know what? Let's get rid of him. Now, Rabbeisai, when they get rid of a king, you see the way it is in the Middle East. The minute they get rid of their leader, they don't just get rid of him. They get rid of him. They cut him down, they kill him, and that's it. I think Paru was afraid that not just he would be Ois Melech, and then he could live the rest of his life like an ex-president, and make millions of dollars on speeches, on visits to colleges. In Mitzrayim, they send you away. They send you away forever. So what's the problem if he's a kafi toiv? What do you expect? Is one mechuyev to give up his life? Is one obligated to put himself in a sakane to show akara satayv? We're tiny against Panay. Look, he's a kafi toiv. You know, the pressure he was under, the danger he might have been in. Yet we could say, maybe, yeah, maybe. Maybe Akaras HaTov means that I'm a chuyiv to put myself in danger. I owe you to the utmost, even if it means that I put myself in a bad situation and even maybe danger. Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu asked permission to go back to Mitzrayim. Who did he ask? From Yisrael. And the Rabbeinu tells him to go. I can't go yet. Tells the Rabbeinu Shalom, I need to get permission from Yisrael. So the Chazal say, yeah, but if Hashem tells you to go, you go. And the answer is, Yisrael opened up his doors for him. He opened up the doors of his house. You even owe him, indebted to him with life. Now maybe it's just an expression. Maybe it's another way of saying, I owe you my life. Nobody really means that, you know. I owe you a lot, you know. So you say it with words that mean utmost. My life depends on it. Literally, maybe not. Bali Musar say maybe yeah. Nafshei mischayiv loy means the ultimate responsibility and chiyuv. You owe him everything, even life. Even to give up your life, or put yourself in suffix of a matzav of danger. The Raya, one of them, Rav Shach, in the Sefer Machsheves Musar brings, Chelik Beis, Amud Shin Lamed Dalet, we find that Avraham Avinu went to war against the kings to save light. Danger. You know what it is for one person to go against such an army? He put himself in danger. And who is he putting himself in danger for? Like, why? Because of Akaras HaTayv. Chazal say, he remembered that light went with him. In the early days when nobody wanted to look at Avraham Avinu, light believed in Avraham. And he went with him. The Ramban, the Rishonim say, he kept him company almost. You know what it is for light? You know what it is for Avraham to live, to leave everything behind and go alone? Like this, he went with somebody, companion. Therefore, Avraham puts himself in the danger of the war against the kings. So we see from here, Akaras HaTov, says Rav Shach, is Mechayiv, requires that one should put himself in a Masafik Sakana to do for the person you are Akaras HaTov to. I would like to bring another Raya from another episode. We find that Yosef HaTzadik leaves his clothing by Potiphera. Why does he leave his clothing? L'chaira, he should have fought with her and take back his clothing. Why? That was the evidence against him. Do you realize that he put himself in tremendous danger? What was it at the end? The end was he was in jail. The jail sentence was a reduced sentence. Actually, what was supposed to happen to him, he was supposed to get killed. Targum Yonis says clearly that the Koimrim, the heads of the church at the time in Mitzrayim, said, you know, it's not so simple, he was a good guy, let's give him off. And because of that, they reduced the sentence from death to jail. Yonis says that's why later we find that Yosef gives a piss that the Koyrim don't have to pay taxes. The Adma Sakihanim was free of tax. Why? To pay them back for saving his life. Akaras HaTayv, you see? Akaras HaTayv for saving his life. So the fact that he left the clothing, which was the shred of evidence, was only because it would have brought him death. He should have made a cheshbon. Why leave the evidence? It says clearly in the Rishayim, the reason why he left it, because of Akaras HaTayv. You don't want to fight with her. He said, she's my master's wife. So he left and he ran out. Yeah, but you're putting yourself in danger. You mechuyiv al tzaka, beat her up and move on. What do I mean? You stick... Stick up for yourself. Is one mechuyev to leave himself in a compromised situation where he might be taken to the death, to the gallows, only because of Hakaras HaTov that he asked for Poitifera. It's clear in the Chazal that he didn't want to take it away from her because then he would have to fight with her, and he had Hakaras HaTov to her. He had respect for her. Respect for who? Hakaras HaTov to who? Look what she was trying to do to him. He should have fought with her. He should have punched her back, so to speak, and taken away from with force, taken back the clothing. So he left the evidence, putting himself in danger. You're right; he was in jail, which itself is a lot that he gave up to sit in jail for this story. But he technically knew that the laws he was supposed to get killed, and yet he did it for Hakaras HaTov. So we see. And Hakaras HaTov means even nafshim is chayiv lo, even it means that you have to give up your life. So we could come and say that Parei should have stood strong. You're right, he had a lot of pressure. It's true that they were trying to take him away from the kingdom, and like we say, that was probably a dangerous endeavor. He wouldn't have survived it. Yet still, Hakaras HaTov means Nafshim is Chayiv Loi. Maybe that's what the Tain is. Or maybe we could say that maybe he wasn't at fault for not being Makir Tov. But it's a result. If you aren't Makir Tov, you're right. Whatever the reason is, it wasn't your fault. You had a gun to your head. But the result is you'll get used to being a Kafi Tov, and then eventually you'll be a Kafi Tov to the Rebbeinu Shloim. This Rabbi Sai is the underlying kfira, the shayrish of the kfira, let us call it the klipa, the tum of Mitzrayim, kfir satay, which leads to kfira. You know, the pasuk tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu says, send out the Jewish people, Hashem said so. Says, Parei, lo yadati es Hashem, the Gamis Aam Loy Ashaleach. I don't know who Hashem is. And I also am not going to send the people. Now I always wondered, you know, Loyadati es Hashem, it's spelled like the Shem HaKadosh. When it says the Pasuk, Loyadati es Hashem, it's spelled like we say Yud Keva, it's spelled like Hashem. What did Parei say? What was actually his words? Le'adati es ha... What? Le'adati es maybe ha... Adonus maybe... Did he say the name of Hashem? What does that mean? The gam es ha'am le'ashaleach would seem that actually it's a second point. First, le'adati es Hashem. I don't know who the Hashem is. And the v'loy, no, v'gam and also. Why is the v'gam and also? It should say, lo yadati es Hashem, lo yashaleach, I'm not going to send the... You come and tell me Hashem said. I don't know what Hashem is. I'm not sending the people. It seems like it was two things he was trying to get across to him. The first thing is lo yadati es Hashem. The second thing is v'gam. And also, lo yashaleach. Why is he saying that? So I would say a pshat Rabbi say as follows. Hashem, we always know, is midas rachamim. It's the midah of Hashem's mercy. Hashem showed tremendous mercy to Parei. Hashem showed tremendous mercy. Hashem went and made that from all the nations that there was no food, Mitzrayim had food. And because of that, Mitzrayim became the metropolitan of the world. It became the Malchus Ha'olam. Like America is the great power, Mitzrayim also became the great power. It's known that they say that the reason why the American dollar is so strong and so powerful, because on the dollar it says, in God we trust. You see, every dollar, it's the only currency in the world that makes mention of Hashem. In God we trust. So the Bali Musar say, you could check it's on every bill. I hope you could check it a million times. You hear?
You got any trust.
Avada. So the pshat is that when a person is makir, it's from the Rebbeinu Shleilam, his power, his wealth. Parah should have checked this, realized this. He became a superpower through the chesed of the Eibishter, that all the nations came to him for food. What happens? He took that chesed and he turned it around to say how great he is. Instead of taking the chesed of the Eibishter, instead of being makir in the chesed of the Eibishter, he used that chesed to make himself a deity, that he's a big person. I want to show you something interesting. Why did he make himself an avodah zarah? Because the nilus used to come to his feet. The nilus. How did the nilus come to his feet? Rashi tells us clearly in the end of Parashas Vayigash. Vayivarech Yisiyak, Yaakov blessed him to that. That was a bracha that was given to him by a tzaddik Yaakov. Ralbag says, why did he get this bracha? It came from Yosef telling Yaakov to give him the bracha. Why? Because of everything he did for Yosef. So Yosef convinced his father that he should give him this bracha. So here he gets a bracha, which is based on Hakaras HaTayv from a tzaddik. So instead of taking that and learning to have Hakaras HaTayv to the tzaddik, and of course ultimately to Rebbeinu Shleilam, what does he do? He makes himself an avodah zarah from it. Adam said, you don't realize that this was a chesed, this was a present given to you because of Hakaras HaTayv to Yosef, from Yosef, and you turned it around to go against Yosef and to go against the bracha that came from the Eibishter. Lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know midas harachamim. Hashem is midas harachamim. Which means all the good that I got, I don't translate it as Hashem rachamim. Lo yadati es Hashem. Vegam. And the second thing I want to tell you is Yisrael le'ashaleach. I won't be makir toiv to Klal Yisrael either. There's two things he's been koifer. The first thing is Le'adati Es Hashem. I'm not a makir toiv to Rebbeinu Shleilam. How about being makir toiv to Yosef? Le'gamis Am Le'ashaleh. I'm not sending out the Jewish people. I'm a kafli toiv on both ends. The Kfiras HaToiv of Mitzrayim was a twofold Kfiras HaToiv. It was kfiyas hatoiv to the Rebbeinu Shleilam. It was kfiyas hatoiv to Klal Yisrael. Lo yadati es Hashem. I don't know who Hashem is. Hashem is midas harachamim. I don't know. Good things happen to me because I'm a god. I'm a deity. Legames Yisrael ashaleach. I'm not going to do for the Jewish people either. I don't accept Hashem's rachamim, nor do I accept my chiyuv for Klal Yisrael to do anything for them. I'm a kafi toiv b'toivasin shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu u'b'toivasin shel Klal Yisrael. Where does this come from? This comes from a inability to see the root of Taif. Where does Taif come from? A lot of times when you get Taif, what you should do is makir the person who gives you the Taif. Then we know that there's a person who's a Shamanta, a Visa, Vayishman, Yeshur, Vayivat, that you get good and then you buy it. A guy is a shvacha makir taiv. A yid is a meiridik amat. It's part of the midas of a yid, is to be a makir taiv. I want to show you something interesting. The Rishonim, the Rambam, others ask, why is Mitzrayim pointed out to get punished, singled out to get punished for the story of putting Klal Yisrael in Shibud? But the Rebbeinu Shleil wanted it that way. says clearly, the guy, it says clearly, Kigel, they deserved it. Someone had to do it. They could come and tell the Rabbeinu Shleim, Rabbeinu Shleim, I'm doing your Ratzayin. Fakelt, what are you punishing me for? I'm doing what you asked of me. Why is Klal Yisrael punished? I'm sorry, why is Mitzrayim punished for doing what the Eibishter wanted? The Eibishter wanted Galus Mitzrayim. So the Rambam says a Mahalach, yeah, but they overdid it. The Rambam says they overdid it. You're right. V'gamas ha'goy asher yavoidu. Who told you to go and be machmir on the tzivui? The tzivui was to keep them in galus. You're right. But not like this. You overdid it and you get punished for that. Azei zak the Rambam. The Ravid says a different pshat. The Ravid says, what happened to Akaras HaTayv?
Avram.
What happened to Akaras HaTayv? You know, you're right. The Rabbeinu Shloim wants V'gamas HaGoy that you should be the next. So you know what? Why did the Rabbeinu Shloim pick you? You're the first and last person to come and say, I want to do it. And I'll be the one to do it because of Akaras HaTayv to Yosef. Which means, inherently, what you did was actually a Maisa Kfiyas HaTayv, even from Enter Ratzon Hashem. I think the Altaych is Azoy. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu gets a Tzivi Hashem to go to Mitzrayim, yet he can't do it because Akaras HaTayv stands in its way. And therefore he must go to ask Yisrael permission to go, because Sivay Hashem must include, it must have taken count, the fact that there is Hakaras HaTayv. So here too, Mitzrayim. Now I don't even know if there was a discussion. I'm not telling you that there was a discussion that the Rabbi Shalom asks Mitzrayim to do it and they say they can't, they could do it, they can't. That's not, it's automatic that they did it. But what the nucleus of the mitzias of the galus was based on a kfiyas hatayv. I don't think there was a discussion. Mitzrayim, go do this, and they have a taina. Listen, Rabbi Shlalom, I can't. That it never came up for a discussion. It happened that they were the ones who did it. But if you unravel the Yisroshim, the Yisoidus of that Gullus, it was based on an Iyakaras HaTayv. So inherently it couldn't have been unless the Tum and the Klipa of Mitzrayim is Kfiyas HaTayv. That's the Chayra, the Lomdus, the Pshat, the Havan and the Ravid. So Nachama Rabbi said, we see clearly what it means that the Klipa, the Tum of Mitzrayim and the Gullus of Mitzrayim was Iyakaras HaTayv. They couldn't come with a taina, I'm doing the Ratzon Hashem, because it meant you'd being a kafir toy, and that's not the Ratzon Hashem. So that means you were doing something which is wrong. Das del pshat. Inherently in Mitzrayim, putting them in galus, it was based on the fact that a Mitzrayim is a kafir toy, and that leads to Leyadati es Hashem, that he doesn't know who the Eibishter is. This Rabbeisai is Goy. Why? The Goy doesn't see past his pleasures. The more cars, the more he thinks he's great. The more fancy clothing, the more Eilam Haza, the more riches. It's his power. It's Koychi Va'itzim Yadi. The Yid has to see from all the objects that he gets, that he's granted, as a chesed of the Eibishter, it's all from the Eibishter. You know, there's a very famous shaila. L'chayra. A daimim. What feelings does a daimim have? So we said that maybe the pshat is that it's not so much for the object, but it's for you. True, the nahar, the ground doesn't have, it's about you. Okay. We said the same thing by the challah. The Gemara said we know the halacha is supposed to cover the challah when you make kiddush. The challah is going to get insulted. You have to say, I'm sorry to the challah. Let's say by mistake, you didn't put the cover over. Maybe you have to call over the challahs and say, come, I want to say, I'm sorry. It's not so much about the challah, it's about you, all right? Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Rashiv Zatzal from Panevish, says that no. It's not about the object, nor is it about you. So then what is it? When you understand that the object is the Rebbeinu Shlomo put that object there to service you, to help you. So that Hakaras HaTayiv is not even to the object. Who is it that Hakaras HaTayiv to? To Rebbeinu Shlomo. Who put the Nahar there? Who made the ground over there? The Rebbeinu Shlomo, set up the matziv that Moshe Rabbeinu should be able to save himself. So don't look at the ground. Don't look at the Nahar. It's not Hakaras HaTayiv, a thank you to the ground. But what is it? It's what's behind that. Who's the buyer, the creator of this ground? That's that Hakaras HaTayiv. So I understood that there's a tremendous insight here. A Yid is a makir toiv because he could take the objects that are given to him and see in that b'ir ha'olam that it's a chesed of the Eibishter. While the guy is incapable of seeing past the object, and therefore he becomes a balgaiva, he becomes haughty, he thinks of himself, how great he is that he has, betray him, look at my wealth. And therefore he becomes like a deity, decides that he's a god. It's Hashem who gives it to you. You don't see that. That's the klipa. That's the kfira of Mitzrayim. I want to show you something interesting. The Mefarshim ask, Klal Yisrael is a Mitzrayim. They were upstanding citizens. They didn't do anything wrong. It doesn't say anywhere that Klal Yisrael did something wrong. Yet, Pari comes across with an entire campaign against the Eden. Let's go and attack them and do and put them in chains. Why? Because maybe there'll be a war and they'll push us out of the land. Tell me, did Klal Yisrael at any point or do anything to cause Pari to think that way? I mean, what did they do? They did something. We find that they were speaking against the Medina, speaking against the Mitzrayim, against Pari. They were not loyal. They were very loyal subjects. So the Pashup shot is that's anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is not based on anything. It's just, it is halacha. How does it say halacha? Esav Sein Eliyakov, say the Mefarshim halacha. It's halacha Moshe Sinai. It's just the way it is. You can't change, there's no explanation behind it. Accept it as a fact. So here too, sounds like in the Nazi Germany, the Jews, what did the Jews do to you? The Jews did nothing to you. What does that have to do with you? But the truth is, it's a little bit deeper, Rabbi. Let me tell you what the pshat is. If you're a kafui taif, which means this is something that you would do, so you think that others would do it as well. There's a very famous expression in Yiddish, of Ganev Brent the Hittel, which means a person who's a thief, his hat burns him, which means he's always thinking that the other guy's a thief. When a guy walks around saying he's a thief, he's probably a thief. Why? A person's not a thief doesn't think that way. I don't steal. So if I don't think everybody's stealing, but if you yourself are stealing, you should know. You'll walk around seeing everybody as a ganav. Same thing here too, because Pari's a coffee type. And Mela, he walks around. What do they call that? When a person has a phobia, it's a word for it. He's like Saddam Hussein, they say, had this machla, that he was trying to get the right word in English, that he always was afraid, that the people are trying to get him, and they're trying to kill him. You know why? Because that's what he would do. He would kill everybody in his sight. Anybody who came to near him got killed. So he was always afraid. Stalin, that's where it comes from. It's the same thing. All dictators, you know what it comes in their head, they have like a phobia. It's the word is slipping me now, but it's a phobia. That you're always thinking Ah. You know why? Because you think that way. Pare, who was a kafi taif, you hear? The Mela, he thinks Klal Yisrael will be a kafi taif. You notice that when Moshe Rabbeinu comes and tells Pare that the Eden, they can't take it anymore. They want to go out to serve Hashem. Oh, tichbad avoida, let's make it worse for them. What's the point? Val yishu b'divrei shakar. To them, this is all lies. A person who is a thief, you hear? He thinks that way. To him, oh, they're plotting against me. They're broken, they're working. Why can't you see the reality? They couldn't take it anymore. No, 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 they're plotting against me. This is where it comes from, that when a person is a kafi taif, he sees everybody around him as kfiya taif. With this Rabbeisai, I think we can explain how Mitzrayim stands for the anti-hakaras hataif. It's the combat. Yitzias Mitzrayim was to take us out from the tumah and the klipa of Mitzrayim of being a kafi taif, that we should be a makir taif. And this is clear in the psukim. Anoichi Hashem Elokecha asher hoitzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. Why doesn't it say Anoichi Hashem Elokecha? I created the world. I did so much for you. And the answer is, say the Rishonim asher hoitzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Mitzrayim. Hakachas hataiv, you owe to me. So we see that the Yiddishkeit, Jewish faith in the Rabbeinu Shleilam, is based on the concept of Hakaras HaTayv, that he took us out of Mitzrayim. Why? Because the klip and the tumah of Mitzrayim was Kfiyas HaTayv, which led to Lo Yadatiyas Hashem. Since Mitzrayim means I don't know who Hashem is, to the point that Lo Yadati, I'm sorry, I'm Makafi Tayv, to the point that Lo Yadatiyas Hashem, Anoich Hashem Aleikecha Asher Tzeisicha Me'etz Mitzrayim. Hakaras HaTayv. Hakaras HaTayv, which leads to Emuna and Anoich Hashem. Mitzrayim was Kfiyas HaTayv, which leads to Lo Yadati Es Hashem. And therefore, Anoich Hashem is Asher Tzeisicha, is Hakaras HaTayv. B'makir Tayv. This is the undoing of the Tumah of Mitzrayim. The Chinuch writes that the lesson of Mitzrayim is not just Emunah Hashem. The lesson of Mitzrayim is Emunah Hashkacha Pratis. Hashem created the world, that's Emunah in the Rabbeinu Shleilam, the Creator. What's Mitzrayim? Emunah in Hashem that runs the daily activities of the person. Chinuch explains that people believe, you know, Hashem created the world, but he can't run every detail that happens. Mitzrayim taught us to a T. Exactly, the Rabbeinu Shalom runs the world. And I want to show you something interesting, Rabbi Isai. By Makas Tzfardeya, Pari can't take it, and he calls Moshe. Hatiru al Hashem, damu to Hashem, get rid of this thing for me. Hatiru is a lashon of tefillah, damu to Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu responds interestingly. Hispoer olai. What does hispoer olai mean? I challenge you. Hispoer. Rashi explains, hispoer olai. You think you're going to undermine me? I'll do something that you can't do. That's hispoer olai. L'masai ati l'cha. I'm not just going to daven for you. You tell me when you want it to go away, and I'll daven then. I'll daven that it should go away at the time that you said. What does Pari tell him? Daven today, it should go away tomorrow. Okay. What's going on? Now, if you notice, the word that's used by the prayer here of Moshe Rabbeinu is Vayitzak Moshe. Moshe screams. No other place does it say. It says Bayetar. It says Paras Kapov. He pricks his hands up. Here he's screaming. So the Sifsa Chacham says, why is he screaming here? Because the frogs are making a lot of noise. Halacha is that when you daven, you have to be able to hear yourself. So you have to scream louder than the frogs. So the Sifsa Chacham says, Ayitzak, you have to scream. The question is that that's only by Shmoneh Esrei, when is this halacha? You're supposed to hear, you're not supposed to, it's a whole discussion. Which part of prayers should you hear your voice speaking, and it should be louder than the noise that's around? All right, it's a whole discussion, this Sifsei Chacham. The point being, it explains the word Vayitzak. Yet, we could say another pshat. You know, Vayitzak, we find that when Moshe Rabbeinu davens for Miriam, it says also the word Vayitzak. He screamed out, Kel nor refon Allah. Funny, scream, what is he screaming about? So the Sipurna, the Rishayim explain, Vayitzak is when it hurts you, when it's personal. When it's personal, Vayitzak. The question is, why here Vayitzak? If Vayitzak means that you're screaming because it's personally affecting you, so why here does it say Vayitzak? Oh. So there's a very famous pshat, which I don't 100% understand. Till here, we still don't know that Paris is this big Russia. Maybe he's amazing, you know, he's living in La La Land, you know, he's making big mistakes. So Moshe Rabbeinu still feels empathy towards Pari, feels bad for him. So Vayitzak was hurting Moshe, actually. Moshe felt... Later on, he starts to see what kind of a gangster Pari is. He doesn't even care about him. He lost all his feelings for him. I don't like the Teretz so much. I would have said the following. I would have said, we find by Eliyahu HaNavi, Bahara Carmel, the Nevi HaBaal was saying, there's no God. We'll see who gets answered first. He brought Karbanis, the Nevi HaBaal brought Karbanis. Aneini Hashem, Aneini. Hashem, answer me. Shloyimru Maisik Shafim, they shouldn't say that I did it, says Chazal. Through Kishif. That's how Chazal say was the intent of the prayer. Answer me, Hashem. Answer me. What should you answer me? Like they'll know it's you and they'll not think it's witchcraft. How is that Aneini Hashem Aneini? Hashem, you answer me because the tzaddik takes it personal. You tell him Hashem doesn't exist. You tell him prayer doesn't exist. It becomes a personal thing to him. Lama Yoim Ragoyim, David HaMelech says, why should the Goyim say, Ayei Eloheihem, Velikeinu Bashamayim? It becomes a personal thing now. You're challenging me that there's no tefillah. Because that's the pshat. Yispoyer lie, I'll show you tefillah. To what type of tefillah? Precise tefillah. You know, you go to a doctor, right? Imagine the doctor gives you medicine. Imagine you tell the doctor, what time tomorrow am I going to feel good? Could the doctor say, 12:03? I mean, it's a joke, right? Baruch, in the next week or so, you'll feel better, right? Maish is trying to say, you know, I know it's not my Kshafim. It's not any power that I have. I'll show you exactly how the tefillah will work. It will work precise. Tell me when, and I'll do it then. Vayitzak, Moshe is screaming out now for him. It's not so much anymore for Pari. Rabbeinu Shalom, answer my tefillah in a way that you see that it's my tefillah that did it. You know what the pasuk says? Take out the chumash. It says clearly, "Vayas Hashem kedvar Moshe." So it says by the right afterwards, "Vayitzak." You know, read it inside. We'll see the beauty of the psukim. How it's so clear. No other makid says this. By all the other makids, it says he damin, and Hashem took away the. Didn't say Hashem did like. I read you the pasuk. It says like this. Says in the pasuk, Oh. Vayitzak Moshe, Perik Ches, Pasik Ches. Vayetze Moshe v'arim min pari. Vayitzak Moshe l'Hashem, Advar atzvardim ashesom l'pari. Vayas Hashem, Kidvar Moshe. What does it say? Vayimus atzvardim in abot, v'chsem asom, v'yitzvah yitzchamorim, Hashem did Kidvar Moshe. Normally, Hashem answered the prayer for Pari. This was more. This was to do Dvar Moshe, to show that the prayer is a prayer, that the davening is a davening. You hear? What's the point? Davening is connected to Hashgacha Pratis. You know what davening is about? We daven about details. Hashem, give me this. Hashem, give me this. Hashem, give me that. Hashem, take it, watch me and protect me. The idea and yesod of tefillah is that the Rebbein Yishlam is manig every detail of my life. You know, over the years, you know, you see the way the Goyim pray. They pray very klaliistic, very, very, what do we call that, general. God, this and that. A Yid doesn't do that. A Yid sits there and prays Pratius. Do this, and Shivenu, and Kabbashefen, and then Mamish every Prat. Because we believe Elikei Yisrael on the Pratim. Anoichi Hashem Elikecha, Asha Yitzesicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim, the Pratim. Lamacha, when? Precise. The doctor could give you a general statistic when you'll feel better. He'll tell you, you know, according to the statistic, you'll feel better within a month, you know, and the next month you'll feel better. Tefillah is lemachar, it's precise, it's hashgacha prati. You hear? Tefillah is hashgacha prati. Mitzrayim is to take away that the chesedim that happen is not from the Rebbeinu Shleilam. You know what that means? Klali, not prati. There's a God. There's deities. There's definitely, but there's no deity that gives the prat. You know who gives the prat? The government, the melech. Pari is saying, where is the Elohus? Where is the God of Mitzrayim? I'm the God of Mitzrayim. Because who gives you the food and who grants? It's me. He takes away the prat, the hashgacha pratius, the day-to-day activity, not Hashem, it's the government, it's the Malchus. Now you understand why he made himself a God. What did he need it for? Tell me, do you think it was easy for him to make himself a God? What a headache. He can't go to the bathroom ever. He has to wake up at a certain time. No one should see him. Poor guy. What happens in the middle of the day? Basia went and cooked him a meal and it went sour. She burnt it and it was no good. It was one of the... And stomach, what was he supposed to do? He was to hold himself in all day? What's he supposed to do? Not worth it. After a certain amount of years, you say to yourself, it's just not worth it. So what's the pshat? The pshat is that he went out of his way, difficult to be this, because it undermines the Malchus. He believed that the way to make the Malchus is that the Malchus runs the government, runs the life of the person. You know, it's interesting. You know, I always think about it. The Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats and the Republicans, they're busy fighting more government, less government. Should a person dictate his own wealth, or he should wait for the government to give it, right? You know, they're both kaifim, Rabbi Yisrael. They're both kaifim. But you know what the aside of the kfir is? They made it moderate. They modernized an old kfir. But if you dig deep in, it's kfir. One is saying, kaichim eitzim yadi. And the other one is saying, melech mitrayim. That's the government that does it for you. You see, Rabbi Yisrael, it's old kfira, rehashed, repainted in a new form. Verstehst mit der neue Glanz, with a new glance, you know, modernized with technology. You come, you give a guy an old telephone with a cup and a wire. He'll say, "This is from 300 or 500 years ago." We need cell phone, with Dell phone, with planar phone, with Azar phone. You know, you have to modernize every day in the e-phone, D-phone. What's it called, this phone?
Samsung 3
phone. Every newer, the newer. So let me teach you the old fear and new technology. And the answer is Democrats and Republicans. They took an alte kfira, which means that we say it can't be the Rebbeinu Shlalem, it's Koichev Eitzim Yadi. That's the Republican. I work, I make mazun, my koiches, I put it where hard days work, I make it, okay. Then you have the Democrat, it's the Malch, that's Mitzrayim, that's the Kfir of Melch Mitzrayim. This Rebbeisai is old Kfira in a new package. They package it with new modern terms and modern technology. This Rabbeisai is what we call Klipas Mitzrayim. And this Rabbeisai is called Tumas Mitzrayim. And this is Anoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yitzeisicha Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. And that's why it's Miyuchid to teach me the Hashgacha Pratis, the details of my private life. Because I wonder, there's a God. I mean, both Democrats and Republicans at their conventions, the first thing is with God, and it's preaching, and thank God, and then bless God, and God ahead, and God ahin. And the minute the blessings are over, then they get into the fighting. The government gives you life, or we work for our own life. You see? Hashgacha Klalius. But then there's a new sugya called Hashgacha Pratis. Mitzrayim try to take away Le'adati Es Hashem. There's no Hashgacha Pratis. Ruvaz Venach Hashgacha Pratis. Therefore, the Makis, Davka the Makis. It's not a general thing about Akaras HaTayv because you have to have Akaras HaTayv to the Nahar. The Makis had to exemplify pure Akaras HaTayv, because it was the anti of the Gullus of Mitzrayim. It was to heal. It was to bring about the Geula from Mitzrayim. Therefore, Moshe had to do them in an oifen, in a way that exemplifies Akaras HaTayv. Let me tell you something interesting. In Svarim, it's brought down that Makas Dam. Why was the first Makas Dam? So the Pashup Shad is Dam. You made blood. They shechted the babies. Blood. Sfarim write that there's something, a lesson to be learned from the Mak of Dam, and that is, water gives life. Yosef gave you life. What do you return instead? You gave him Dam. You killed his children. It spoke of the Hashchasa. It was supposed to mirror the Hashchasa of the Tum of Mitzrayim, where instead of being makir toyv for the life, Hashem gives you parnosa. And don't forget the nilus. Where does the nilus gives the life, gave parnosa. That's where they got their, so Hashem, the Nile, that's where they got, Hashem gives this to you as life. And you used it for what? To kill and to murder and to maim. Say Sfarim that the lesson in Makas Dam was this, and this is the point, because it was trying to uproot. The Makis were there to uproot, to heal, to address the tomb of Mitzrayim, of being a coffee toy in the Chesed of the Eibishter. I gave you a Nilus. It gave you money. Don't forget Yosef gave you the story. For 7 years you had Parnosa and the whole world came to you. And you turned that around to make murder and kill and maim. How could you do that? The Makis, like I explained to you, were a lesson in Akaras HaTayv. They screamed, you're a Kafi Tayv. They addressed the problem of you being a Kafi Tayv. And so, I add that that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to do the Makis in such a way that there was pure Akaras HaTayv and no signs of not Akaras HaTayv. The Pasuk tells us, Leisisayev Mitzri ki ger ha'isa ba'atzai. Can't hate a Mitzri. Why? They kept you as a tenant. They kept you. Rashi points out in Dvarim Chav Gimel Ches Achsanya. When b'shas hatchak. What does Rashi mean b'shas hatchak? At a time where you had difficulty, you achsanya. So Pasha, I was thinking b'shas hatchak means when Yankiv came down to Mitzrayim, you didn't have parnosa, you had hunger, they took you in. Bali HaToises say that it's referring to the time before the Shibud. The time before the Shibud, they took you in. That's why, Leisasayiv Mitzri. If you look at Rabbi Yeruchim, it seems Rabbi Yeruchim is learning, even during the Shibud, they kept you. It's true, they tortured you. He says, the way he speaks it out is, could you imagine such an achsanya? This was already the welcome that they gave us. They killed us, they maimed us. But at the end of the day, we were by them. So he's learning that like Sasayiv Mitzri, Kigera, Yisav Arza, even later. Bali HaTayis is saying it's going on the time before the torturous, murderous Shibud that they did to Klal Yisrael. The way I guess Rabbi Yeruchim is saying Shas Hatchak means at the end of the day they were there. And even though it was a difficult period and Klal Yisrael suffered and they were tortured, Lamaisa, they were your hosts. You have to be Makir Toiv. What do I learn from this? Hakaras HaToiv means to dwell the deeper, to see the good parts among the bad parts. Hakaras HaTayv does not mean that when you do good to somebody that you should say he did good and I owe him. Even though the truth is we are faulty of that also. We can learn great lessons and Musar to be Makir Toiv when the thing is completely Toiv. Even when the thing is completely good, man has a tendency to be a Kafi Toiv. That's the nature of man. But Hakara Sataif, the word Hakara means to recognize, which means sometimes to see from within all the difficult and all the issues that are negative, to see the positive Hakara Sataif, to be Makir. Mitzrayim, there was 99% negative. Yet there's 1%. If you learn it's going on before the Shibud, okay, so they were kind to us. But if it means throughout, yeah, but where was the kindness? And the answer is, at the end of the day, they kept us. And I would go one step further. There were many nations throughout the years that didn't keep us and just be meshabed us. They wanted to kill us. They wanted to annihilate us. So in comparison, this is a chesed.
That's why they don't want to annihilate us?
No, they wanted us to stay and we'd be their slaves for the rest of our life. The Gemara actually says this. The Gemara says, how do we know you're supposed to say halal on Purim? So the Gemara says, Madach mi shibud l'geula. Klal Yisrael said Shira, said halal. Michaim l'mavis l'kolskeim. By Purim it was death. You see that Mitzrayim was not more than just shibud. You're right. It was torturous shibud. It was Shibud with Achzorius. It killed us left and right. But the ultimate goal was not to annihilate us. Haman was to annihilate us. And so, we were by them. And we have to be Makir Toiv in that. that there was an element of Toiv. This element of Toiv is like Sasayiv Mitzri Kigero Yisa Be'artzai. I believe, Rabbi Yisai, that this explains something interesting about the Makris themselves. It says clearly that the Bnei Yisrael would sell water to the Goyim during the Makav Dam. Rashi brings it down that when they would buy the water, it would turn into Dam. What were they selling the water? So you could come and say, you know, it's for good businessmen, you know. As little kids, they sold lemonade in the streets. So they got older, they sold water, you know. When there's a need, there's a yid who figures out how to make a business out of it. Yeah? Or maybe the Eden had a lot of rachmanis, and they tried to feed and tried to help the Mitzrayim. I'll tell you where I got this from. The Mefarshim asked by Makas Choshech, it's 3 days. How did they eat for 3 days? According to some Mefarshim, the Jewish people went and fed the Mitzrayim. I think the Netziv, if I'm not mistaken, I have to look it up again. I don't remember exactly which of the Mefarshim say this, but it's in the Mefarshim. That the Yidden, and this is by Makas Bechairis, you're talking about already at the end, they couldn't take them anymore. The Jews couldn't take the Mitzrayim anymore. After so, a Jew. And you know what the Pshat is, Rabbi Yisai? At the end of the day, the Jews showed Hakaras HaTayv to the Mitzri. You know, there's a very famous question. How come the Jews didn't fight back at Mitzrayim, at Yam Suf? If every Jew would turn around and attack a Mitzri, they would have won. The numbers were such that the Jews were much stronger physically and number-wise more than the Mitzrayim. So the Sipur asks us for Akasha, I think when Eben Ezra asks for Akasha, and Eben Ezra says their mentality was that of an Eved. An Eved doesn't know how to fight back. You should know that the Nazi Yimach Shemei V'Zichai, that before he went to kill the Jew, first he put him in the working camps to destroy the morale that they can't even fight back. To the point that you want to die. It's a way of getting to the person to destroy his morale that he shouldn't have the courage to fight back. Mitzrayim was the same idea. Mitzrayim was that... Mitzrayim was the same idea that he couldn't fight back at the Yam Suf. Or maybe we could come and say that the Hakaras HaTayv was Mechayiv, that the Jew should not fight back whatsoever. In Mitzrayim, it had to be that they left the opposite, on good terms, not on bad terms. You notice by Purim, the Jews waged war at the end. At the end, they waged a war. They went and they killed Meshushan Abira, the capital. They killed out tons of people. And an extra day, you know what? Make a cheshbon. You live in Shushan. You know what? Make peace. Nothing happened. They didn't kill any Jews. No Jew got killed. Make peace, and that's all. It's home. And it finished. And then so the simple pshat is that they killed only Amalekim. If you look at the Targum seems to say the base Amalek. All the people they killed in Shushan were in the base Amalek. Amalek is a mitzvah to kill them. You have to kill Amalek. But the truth is, but what about everybody else? It seems like there was a war, not only to Haman and his children and his family. Why war? And the answer is, war, we're not makir toif to Tachashverish. Why not? He tried to kill us. Mitzrayim at the end of the day didn't try to kill us. And therefore, we left without picking up a finger to hurt them. Ebenezer says, why don't we wage war? And the answer is, that's not what the Kavana was. We weren't supposed to pick up a hand against Mitzrayim. Like society of Mitzri, so that Ebenezer learns, we couldn't because we were Meshubit. We were like slaves. And I'm saying, we didn't want to, or Hashem didn't want us to. Because he didn't want that we should pick up a finger Why? Because the whole klipa of Mitzrayim was hogufe. It was that itself that they were kfiyei toif. So we had to leave Mitzrayim in a way that were makir toif. Ahi b'shalach para yesa'am. Pari sent them away? I didn't know that. Pari? What kind of pari sent them away? The Eibishter took them out. You know what b'shalach means? The Rebbeinu Shem made it that pari should have to say yes, go. Why? Why? So there's briska Torah about it, because it has to do with shiluach avadim. It has to do with the amount of money that you give. You're supposed to give presents when you leave it with an Eved. But if he runs away and he's not sent away, then you don't give those presents. Hanikanikli. You're supposed to give an extra gift. So the money we got in Mitzrayim, Yamsu, we wouldn't have gotten because we ran. So it couldn't be that we ran. It had to be that we were
freed.
That's briska Torah. I would say Hakachas HaTovdik HaTorah is B'shalach. Almost like Yisrael had to grant permission for Moshe to leave to go to Mitzrayim. It required that Pari should grant permission that we should leave. And I believe that that becomes the yesod of Mitzrayim. Forget Pari, wipe them away and let the people leave. What are we busy with Pari? Letting them and Pari not letting them. Pari is letting them, Pari is not letting them. So Pashup Shad is Emunah, Hashem was playing, it's a play. It's all to play out the Indian of fighting with the Eibishter, and the Eibishter shows him how he'll be the boss. Part of it is B'shalach Pari. We leave with Hakaras HaToiv, that you sent us because you're the Melech and we stayed by you. We don't leave by killing you. We don't leave by wiping out Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim we don't wipe out. We do not wipe out Mitzrayim because we have to learn. Like society of Mitzri, Kiger, Ayisa, Barzi, Hakaras HaToiv. I would like to end with the following, Rabbeisai. Hakaras HaToiv, it happened so many years ago. Huh? Why don't you say, Anechi Hashem Lekecha, that I give you food, and I give today. Talk about now. Anechi Hashem, I am Hashem, who today, now. And you know what the answer is? Pashit. Mitzrayim means, if Hashem didn't take out my fathers, I would still be there. So really it affects me also, like we say in Haggadah. So really, Tzicha means I took you out of Mitzrayim. So every year we realize in Eichi Hashem that he took me out of Mitzrayim. So it's not pissed. Or maybe. You know when that Hakaras HaToiv becomes complicated? You don't see it. And you don't remember it. For example, someone does you a favor 10 years ago. You know what happens? Who? What? What? You think? Human nature is, and I'll say it the way it's said in the English terms, what'd you do for me today? You know, our parents, we're not makir toif to them. You know why? What'd you do for me now? What'd you do for me today? How about what they did for you 20, 25, 30, whatever, you, how old you ever is. I'm not discussing the age of the people here. 20 years ago. What did they do for you 20 years ago? Yeah? You forget. The diapering and the staying up at night. Hakaras HaToiv means never to forget. And I'll tell you a story, Rabbis. And with this I'll end. And understand this in the context that Pari forgot the past. When Yosef was around, he remembered Yosef. When Yosef was doing him his favors, he remembered Yosef. It's, you know when he forgets Yosef? Years later. What? Yeah, he's pissed him. You know when you realize who's a makir type? Not the guy who says thank you when you do him a favor. Of course, a guy does a favor, say thank you. Are you still saying thank you 10 years, 20 years? Are you a makir type forever and ever and ever and ever? L'dayridayris. I don't have the time now to be marich, but Zayda Zechayin Levrach and the Seif Ambereshis brings out that
people were called Bnei Adam. At the end of the parasha of Bereishis, it says Bnei Adam. Rashi says Bnei Adam, that the children of Adam, who was a kafi taif. So the Zayda says in Yisoid that you see clearly that grandchildren and grandparents can have the same cheshbon of Hakaras HaTov. You always have to go back to the previous generations. We'll discuss it at a different time. The point being, past history becomes past history. That's by a guy. A guy forgets all the chesed that a wife could do. A wife could be a good wife for 15 years. You know what happens when after 15 years? She don't look the same. She doesn't look like she used to look 15 years ago. Get rid of her. She invested 15 years in you, you piece of garbage. A piece of garbage. She invested 15 years in you, yeah? But you don't remember that, because it's for today. That's the guy. Pare's guy is... Pare's tumeh, his klip is... What's today? What's Yaisa? Who talks about Yaisa? What do you want from Yaisa? We wipe the page clean and we move on, yeah? Klal Yisrael is a makil tay. We don't do that. Look at your roots. And I'll answer you, I'll give you with a story to bring out this point. When my Babi Alea Shalom passed away, Tzadekis, all of you know of her, she was a tremendous woman. She was Radin, she was Chofetz Chaim to a T. So when she passed away, they wanted to bring out her greatness in a way of saying divrei musar nisoyeris for the women, that they should strengthen themselves in shmiras haloshen. We were sent to Rav Rosenblum because Rav Rosenblum is in charge of an asifa gathering that they make twice a year in Brooklyn for women about shmiras haloshen. So maybe they'd make another one in memory of my grandmother. But the women should, you know, be more makbid, more careful about Shemiras HaLashon. It was at the time where there was fighting with the Erev in Bara Park. The Erev was good, and not a lot of Lashon Hara. There was a lot of, at home, the Shabbos tables were full of talk that was not appropriate. A lot of fighting. So they figured this might be a good opportunity in the memory of my grandmother to discuss Chizuk. Chizuk and Shemiras HaLashon. I went to Rav Rosenblum. Rav Rosenblum was like, come back to me in 2 days, I want to think about it. I came back to him, he said, you know, the idea is good, but we can't make an asifa because 2 a year is, that's it. If you make any more, then it becomes, every now and then we make an asifa, it loses its potency, its chashivus. So we 2 a year and that's it. You do something too much, it loses its, you know, okay. But what we could do is we could write a letter signed by all the Rosh Hashivas, by all the Gedolim, a letter addressed to the people, to the women, to be more careful in Shemiras HaLashon, in memory of my grandmother, as well as my grandfather, who was such righteous people, and Tzadikim, especially in the area of Shemiras HaLashon, that they were very careful, not to say degradating things against other Yidden. They were very makbid about Kovod Yisrael. Okay. So, if this was the plan, this was the eighth of the advice, I said, fine. Rev Rosenblum dictated a letter to me, what we should write, and I wrote it, and he signed it. And then he tells me, go to Rav Shmuel Birnbaum, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Mir Rosh Yeshiva, he'll be the second one to sign it. I brought it to the Rosh Yeshiva, the Rosh Yeshiva read it, he signed it, and he tells me, I think you should go to Rav Paller for the third signature. Paller knows your Zaidi, he knows your grandfather as well as your grandmother from Shanghai, 50 years before, okay? During the war they went to Shanghai, and from there they came to America, and they were together in Shanghai. I thought, it's interesting, he knows my grandfather from Shanghai, I don't know, he probably knows from here too. I didn't really understand. I also knew that Rav Paller is not the type of person that would sign a letter like this. You know, there are people who are very careful not to sign anything. They don't want to be in the limelight. They're very makbid. And he's that type of person, very careful and very nervous for what he signs and what he gets involved in. But Rav Shmuel Birnbaum sends me there, I should go to him. He knows my grandfather from Shanghai. I call up the Rebbetzin. I'd like to speak to the Rosh Hashiva. Sure, come over. She's very friendly, very warm woman. Of course, come over. I quickly came over. This is a story about 15 years ago, 15 years ago. I come quickly running over. I come into the house. I sit down. And I start telling Paler Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a letter, Shmiras Haloshin, the women, signing. He starts to shake. He used to stutter a lot. When he got nervous, especially when he was nervous, he stuttered even more. I don't do this. I don't sign letters like this. I never signed anything in my life. I figured, I know this. This is almost, who could ask a signature from, I knew this. I couldn't understand why would the Shmuel Birnbaum send me. I couldn't understand. The Rebbetzin walks in, and the Rebbetzin starts overhearing the conversation. And she sees the way he doesn't want and nothing, and he refuses to. So she says to him, why didn't you at least let him finish saying what he wants, what he came for? Let him finish talking. You don't even know what it's about. Finish talking. Let's see what it's about. Okay. So I tell him that it's an honor of my Bobby and my Zaidi. He turns to his wife. Could you bring me a pen? Bring me a pen. She goes to get the pen. He turns to me, he says, I'm going to sign the letter. I go, I don't say, you just carried on. I'm looking at it like, you just carried on. That yeah, the worst thing in the world I could have asked you was to sign this letter. What changed? I didn't say anything. I just said, I started saying about my grandmother. So listen to me carefully, he says. When we were in Shanghai, your Zaidi did tremendous favors for all the people there. He helped. They were broken. They were plated. They were war survivors. No homes, no family, no money. Zaidi was a Rav. He took care of everyone's problem over there. When they came to him with an issue, with a request, you know what his response always was? Yes. Now let me hear what it is. When you asked him, he didn't, before he even knew what it was, he said, what is it? No, he didn't ask you what it is. He would say, yes, of course I'll do it for you, but tell me now what it is. So in retribute, Hakara Sataiv, I'm going to sign. Now tell me what it's about. Tell me what's... he didn't even know it. Before he even... you tell me it's for your grandmother, in honor of the... Okay. He signs the letter, and then he says, okay, now tell me what it's about. 50 years before, you see. And Reb Shmuel Birnbaum must have understood that Gedolim, when they have Hakara Sataiv, they don't forget. We turn the page after a few weeks and forget. Big people never forget. They're always indebted. They're always Makir Taiv. Those that did them a favor. This is the Tumah of Mitzrayim to forget. Asher lo yadas Yosef. The Tikkun, the Geula, is to redeem ourselves with Hakaras HaTayim Anoichi Hashem, which leads to Emunah Mitach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.